from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Number 3 here on a Thursday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thanks for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful day. If you're watching on YouTube.com, you saw the little sneak behind the curtain. Jeff Sacramento in here. Just pulling us in on some stuff for work, and suddenly getting off to such a random tangent that I was showing him that there is actually a Pizza Hut within blocks of the Great Pyramids of Giza.
Yeah, you're watching ancient military show on the History Channel right now.
The baseball game we had on got over, and it was A's and Rays, and I refuse to watch that level of baseball.
It's a great game. There's tens of people in the crowd.
I refuse to support John J. Fisher.
Well, I'm not supporting him. I'm supporting the Ray. Mm. I'm supporting the Athletics. I'm an Athletics supporter.
Mm. Yeah, you are.
I am an Athletics supporter.
Athletics supporter?
Yep. Mm. I support them. Mm. I hope that they, in their white shoes, go and win the World Series.
Dusty the jockstrap.
Yep. I'm a jock. A radio jock. Mm. Disc
Multiple
jockey.
Ways. But yeah, long story short, I had a baseball game on, and there was nothing else on, so I went.
I
just went like the first like military building documentary that was on.
Yeah, look at that. As one always does.
Yeah,
who wouldn't do that?
It's visually appealing in the background.
It is.
I just had to put on something. All right, it's time now for our College Football Rivalry Trophy edition. Our matchups. We're in the round of 32. Yesterday, we have our winners. Dun, 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 dun. 8 entered, 4 will leave.
Bum, bum, bum.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have an upset.
Oh.
We have an upset. I think our first real upset of this round.
Tell me more.
The first matchup featured the Purdue Cannon against the Beehive Boot. The Beehive Boot pulls out the win, 57-43. I figured we'd be able to tell how that one would go.
It's a tiny cannon.
It's a tiny cannon.
It's a tiny little cannon.
Where it got a little sideways, perhaps. The Keg of Nails, Cincinnati and Louisville against the Heartland Trophy of Iowa, Wisconsin. The Heartland Trophy is victorious.
Oh, come on.
The Keg of Nails has gone down.
But, I mean, it's a big old golden anatomically correct bull that Iowa and Wisconsin play for, which is very fitting. It's very fitting. But the Keg of Nails... That's such a cool trophy.
It feels like a one seed getting upset.
By another one in the second round, which is weird.
It happens. Our next matchup features the Bayou Bucket of Rice in Houston against the Milk Can Trophy of Boise State and Fresno State.
Thank you. The people have spoken.
60-40.
A kicker will not see his way through to the Sweet 16 of our bracket.
The big shiny Milk Can of Boise State will move on.
That's right.
And the saddle against the Magnolia Bowl, TCU, Texas Tech, and LSU Ole Miss. This was maybe the most thorough butt-kicking of any of these matchups. And it's really not fair because the Magnolia Bowl is a nice little trophy.
It was a rout.
But it was beaten 87-13. The saddle moves on.
All right. And the saddle should move on. It's a great, great trophy.
I think that's the saddle's a Final Four contender.
Yeah, Texas Tech and TCU, baby.
Well, keeping it in Texas, well, at least a little bit, UTEP and New Mexico State Silver Spade is going to take on the Jefferson Epps Trophy of Florida State and Virginia.
Now, Jefferson Epps, again, this not was Steen. The mayor. It's not Jeffrey Epstein's trophy that Florida State and Virginia play for. It's the Jefferson Epps. It looks like, I don't know, just a kind of looks like the claret jug a little bit. This is Silver Spade, in my opinion. You have New Mexico State and UTEP. They don't have much to play for. The Silver Spade is it. These are two not great programs, but they play for a really damn cool trophy, and it is a shiny shovel. And if you've ever been to eastern New Mexico or West Texas, a silver shovel is exactly what those schools should play for.
It is pretty on brand.
Yep.
Let's be honest. Our next matchup features the Battle of I-75 of Bowling Green State against Toledo, against the Little Brown Jug of Michigan and Minnesota.
This is going to be another route.
This is going to be a slaughter.
Little Brown Jug is a clear winner here. Remember, the Little Brown Jug came because Michigan's coach,
didn't want his
Fielding
water poisoned.
Yost, was afraid Minnesota was going to poison their water on the sideline. So he's like, we're bringing our own, and now they play for it every year.
Which makes sense because, well, Minnesota's terrible. That's what the thing with, in doing the research of all these trophies, the one thing you and I have come to conclude, Minnesota, terrible place.
Terrible people and, back then, yeah. too.
Hey, you can leave the back then off.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll give people from Minnesota a little bit of grace. They gave us Prince. So, I mean, that's changed since then.
I guess.
He's dead.
So then we're back to them.
He's just okay.
They took Prince from us.
Who, what other celebrities are from Minnesota? Isn't that where Josh Duhamel is from?
North Dakota.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. All right.
North Dakota gave us
one of them Odas.
We have Josh Hartnett, Bob Dylan.
That's not helping.
Lindsey Vonn.
The skier?
Yep.
So a skier grew up in a place that you can't ski.
Yep. Okay. Mark Weber. He's an actor in the movie Snow Day.
Oh, I thought you were, let's say he was like the inventor of Weber Grills.
Oh, Sean William Scott. Stifler. Yep. Look at that. Peter Krause. Yeah. They don't have, boy, Minnesota. Rachel Lee Cook. Oh, yeah. Ooh, a hot.
Yeah.
Yep, she's a hot.
I take it back.
Yeah. I think Minnesota.
They win with that.
She is. It's a smoke show.
Yeah.
And Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that's not helping.
Oh, Larry Fitzgerald, does that do anything?
Yeah, that
for
helps.
You?
You probably can't find somebody who dislikes Bob Dylan more than me.
Oh, really?
Very much not a Bob Dylan fan. There's that new biopic coming out about him, and I just had zero interest in
that. What about Cole Aldrich? Big man. Went
the guy
to Kansas.
Who, the guy who wore lifts at the NBA Combine.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
That's why they make him take other shoes off now.
You know what? Great for him.
It's great.
Lonnie Anderson.
Okay.
She's also from Minnesota.
It's not a prestigious list, though. But Rachel Lee Cook.
Oh, Jessica Biel.
Oh, okay. The list.
How is she not higher on this list? Like, she should have been, like, top billing, yeah. Jessica Biel. This is an upset.
Mm.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay.
They're back.
Yeah, okay.
Minnesota's back in a big way. They got the hots.
Oh, speaking of back in a big way, the Fremont Cannon, the biggest cannon on the list of Nevada and UNLV, is taking on the oil can of Fresno State and San Diego State.
This is tough. I don't even know which way I'm going to vote yet. I don't know which way I'm going to vote.
I will tell you, it's very one-sided right now.
The cannon?
Yep.
Yeah. It is a big cannon. Big cannon's getting me going, so I'm going to go with the Fremont cannon there. UNLV, Nevada. The oil can is just a solid one.
It's
and if you remember the history of that one, Fresno State and San Diego State play for this because somebody in San Diego found on a beach an old oil can that was from Fresno, and they're like, you know what? Football's playing for this now. Dems the brakes.
It's like old school. And it's like, hey, you bring your green hat.
Yeah.
That's the level of intrigue that went into this.
Snoopaloo, bring you and your green hat.
Wrapping up today's edition, the Apple Cup of UW and Washington State taking on the Golden Cannon of Central and Western Michigan.
Yeah, they had an upset in the first round.
They should die here.
They should not. I don't think so. I think they win. This is another mini cannon.
Mm.
I'm anti mini cannon, but the mini cannon is winning 52% to 47%
early
in the voting.
Bigger mini cannon.
Okay.
So it's not the smallest of cannons.
All right.
If it was a bowl of porridge, perhaps it would be just right.
I'm a cannon lover. Oh, Judy Garland, also from Minnesota.
The Dame?
Yeah, no, that's Judy Dench.
Oh.
No. Wizard of Oz? Huh?
Not a Wizard of Oz guy.
Come on. Come on.
I'm surprised Jeff Ross didn't immediately flip his mic on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is.
How many times have you watched the original Wizard of Oz?
A lot.
Probably a lot. Yeah. I've got two kids now, too, so, you know.
One was good enough for me. Also, they're making a new version, or a new version has come out already, and boy, does it look like it sucks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, about the about how she became the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, boy, does it look like it. Oh, it looks terribad.
Hmm. Terribad?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, it's not too much.
We should go into that.
Hmm?
All right. I'm still looking. Looks like a lot of hots come from Minnesota, though.
They leave, though.
Well, yeah, it's cold.
I can confirm. It gets very, very, very cold there.
Yeah. It's not a very distinct. It's a lot longer list than Oregon's list of famous people. We don't churn out a lot of famous people here. You know?
No.
No. And I mean, nobody like Judy Garland or Prince. Winona Ryder.
The Little Thief.
Minnesotan. She's got those sticky fingers and a hot. All right.
I like where this is going.
I mean, I'm just going to keep naming people. Kevin Sorbo.
Wow. What?
Kevin Sorbo. Terrell Suggs. That's a good one.
Mm.
That's a really good one. Leah Thompson. Oh, Minnesota's a winner now. I love Leah Thompson. Back to the Future.
There you go.
Yeah. Big Leah Thompson fan.
All the right moves.
All the right moves. Let's go. Right.
Well, you want to keep it in some college football?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, we got a bunch of audio and a bunch of little news and notes to hit some college football.
Steve Zahn from Minnesota.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
And through the next break, if you're watching on YouTube, we'll just keep naming names.
You can do it.
Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You know MacGyver is from Minnesota?
The list of fictional characters from Minnesota, quite substantial.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, Ben Wyatt from Parks and Rec, Pillsbury Doughboy, Betty Crocker, Jolly Green Giant.
Were they created there, or does their backstory have them from Minnesota?
That's where their backstories are from. And I think that, like, Pillsbury and that they were from, like, based out of Minnesota. Mm. But Rose from the Golden Girls, Minnesota.
Mm.
That's where she, before she moved to Florida. Rose.
I mean, Snowbird.
Rust.
St. Olaf.
What?
St. Olaf, Minnesota.
No kidding. St. Olaf,
you knew exactly where she was from. Rust was literally leaving the studio. He heard me say that and ran back to his mic so he could make sure he got that in. St. Olaf, Minnesota.
And St. Olaf is a speck.
Yeah.
In Minnesota.
All right.
It is like a square piece of land. If I'm not mistaken, yes, okay, it is on the way to Minneapolis from Grand Forks.
All right.
You drive right past it.
Okay.
And it's quite literally a township. It's not even a city.
All right.
So, there you go. You want to talk some college football?
Yeah, yeah. I do. I've gone through every famous person in Minnesota, so I'm happy to talk college football
and
now.
Yeah. And there's a couple hots from there.
More than a couple. A
couple hots.
Holy. Jessica Biel.
Mm.
Yeah, let's talk college football. Yeah. What do you got?
The Golics. Both junior and senior,
yeah.
Both very high on the Oregon Ducks and what they have done this offseason and kind of what's going to happen for the Ducks this year.
Ohio State dad, +155 to win the Big Ten. ahead of Oregon at plus 200. And at this point, I feel less and less good about it with every day because Ohio State, they got all those guys to come back on defense. They got Chip Kelly over. There's so many reasons to believe. But Will Howard and what his ceiling looks like and that offensive line and how much Chip Kelly can get out of that group that was good but not college football playoff elite last season are what have me picking Oregon to win the Big Ten right now, who's also dealing with a transfer quarterback coming in Dylan Gabriel. But solidified on both sides of the ball in terms of coordinators that are going to be there. The offensive line, again, going back to when Mario Cristobal has been there, the trenches have been built the right way in Oregon. And so I think they have a chance to come in. They host Ohio State, too. I think that's a big factor in this.
Yeah.
Ohio State goes out to Eugene to play in Oregon, which is a tough environment to play in. So I'm picking Oregon to win the Big Ten.
I think Oregon is offensive heavy, and I think Ohio State is defensive heavy. So that should tend to lead to a hell of a matchup. When they play in Oregon. So another team that could potentially play three times in the season, regular season, Big Ten championship, and then the playoffs. But I think that's a good pick with Oregon. I really do.
Does this scare you at all? That enough people are genuinely going, I could see Oregon.
No, and it shouldn't, because that's kind of what they want at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, gone are the days of the aw shucks, you know, it's just Oregon. No, they have expectations, and they need to live up to them at this point, right? Like, and Lanning isn't afraid, and he's not hiding behind, you know, the, oh, well, you know, it takes a lot. That is what Dan Lanning has tried to cultivate at Oregon, and now it is finally happening. So I think that is a different... That's a different way of thinking about this. I think if you were to go back to Mark Helfrich or Chip Kelly or Mike Bellotti, or, you know, you go all the way back to Richard Brooks, that would have been like this is a scary proposition now that the expectations are so high. Mm-hmm. But they've recruited at a ridiculously high level. They've gone into the transfer portal and filled a lot of holes. I think that's where within that program, you know, and I haven't gotten this out of him, but you hear Dan Lanning talk about it. Like, that's where they are. And the players are saying, you know, we want to come to Oregon to win a national championship, develop ourselves, get to the NFL. And when you talk about that and you preach that's why you're there, that's where the expectation should be, or you're falling a little short of that. I also think that this is a unique time in college football, too, where would this conversation be happening if Jim Harbaugh was still at Michigan? I don't think so. Even with the turnover in talent, because they would be the defending national title winners, they would have one of the best coaches in all of college football, and it would be they're restocking the shelves. There is a little bit of a vacuum here, and I think that a lot of the reason why Oregon is getting hype to win the Big Ten is because of the national narrative around Ohio State's head coach, mm-hmm, in Ryan Day, who's really good against top 10 teams outside of the top 10, but against top 5 teams, he is not very good.
Particularly ones named Michigan.
And I think when you have a coach, and look, I understand Dan Lanning is what, 1-3 against his rivals, mm-hmm, at this point? Okay?
That's the questions and criticisms that will come with that.
But that hasn't become a national narrative.
No.
And it hasn't been a national narrative of Oregon can't win the big game, because he is still entering only his third year as a head coach. Ryan Day escaped all of that because he played for a national title early in his tenure as a head coach at Ohio State. Now it has gotten to that point, though, of, okay, can Ryan Day be the guy to win the big one? There are questions about Oregon. Sure, absolutely. They've not been on this stage and had this kind of notoriety and hype around them ever. Of a program. Now, they've played for two national titles,
but the hype behind them was not, I think, nearly as believable as,
because there wasn't a belief that Oregon could sustain.
No.
After going to national championship games, it's like, yeah, I don't know if they can do it. Now you lose Bo Nix, mm-hmm, okay, to the NFL. You lose Brandon Dorlus. You lose Troy Franklin. You lose Bucky Irving. You lose Jackson Powers Johnson,
and you're looked at as a better team.
And you're looking, and I think that has a lot to say about, I think, the flux of college football, too, mm-hmm, in that NIL and the transfer portal have made it so teams can't just stockpile talent, mm-hmm, and hold on to it. The playing field has been, it's not leveled, but the mound has been tamped down a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have a fortress at the top of the hill where 10 teams are sitting and everybody else is trying to figure it out. There's a little bit of a, it's a zigzag path to get up now.
And that roster is really damn talented. Mm-hmm. Of players who have done it, and they've done it at several places too.
And a big part of that is what Golic Sr. addressed and why he is looking at Dylan Gabriel as a Heisman favorite.
I guess just like the NFL MVP, this is kind of like, it's a quarterback award. So it kind of skews that way to me. It kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But I understand it's the most important position on the field. Really, there's probably two non-quarterbacks that you would put it as. I didn't see the list that was up there, but I would imagine Travis Hunter and Ollie Gordon, the running back from Oklahoma State, have to be two of the non-quarterbacks that are up there. Other than that,
non-quarterback on the board is Travis Hunter. He's at plus 500 right now, just behind Penn State's Drew Aller at quarterback. And then behind him, it's Cade Klubnik at Clemson. And then you get to Quinshon Judkins at Ohio State, Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State is the other non-quarterbacks that are up on that list. Yes.
And won't be a defensive player. As Jesse mentioned, Charles Woodson, 97, was the last one. I think Ndamukong Suh got ripped off, and he should have been one. But you're not going to get a defensive player to win. So I do think it's at the quarterback, and I think I can, I guess, as comfortably as can be with kind of the number of people involved. I think Dylan Gabriel is the favorite and should be the favorite. I think he's going to put up some big numbers. So I would definitely have him as my number one.
The interesting thing about this is twofold. One, how the state of quarterback play in college football this year, it's good. Don't get me wrong. Dylan Gabriel is going to be a good player. Shedeur Sanders is going to be a good player. Carson Beck is going to be a good player. There's plenty of guys. Cam Ward in Miami is going to be a good player.
There's a lot of great college quarterbacks.
Yes. And that's the thing, is this is a down year for the NFL quarterback. Again, I'm not a Shedeur guy, but there's plenty of people who think that he is. But outside of him, it's Quinn Ewers, and then you start squinting pretty heavily.
Well, Carson Beck. I mean, Carson Beck is big, strong, quick release, gets the ball out quick, makes decisive decisions. Kind of Bo Nixian.
Sure.
In that ball is out of his hand very fast, and tight windows, accurate.
But it also, I think, it makes for, I don't want to say less compelling in the Heisman Trophy, but it doesn't feel like, and it's felt like this, I think, for a while, that there isn't somebody that's taking over the landscape. There's no Tebow, there's no Bush, there's no Mariota. Who was the last one? Burrow?
Yes.
Burrow's probably the last one we had. Caleb probably ginned up the closest thing we've seen to it since then, but the team wasn't as good.
No, they were irrelevant.
Yeah.
They were irrelevant as a team, so
it didn't have the same juice.
No, but he was exciting to watch, and everybody thought that last year would have been the year where, all right, he brings USC back from the ashes. Their defense got in the way, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Bryce Young or Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. It was Burrow. Kyler Murray did that. Baker Mayfield.
Baker is the one I was going to go with if it wasn't Burrow.
Definitely did that. It wasn't Lamar Jackson, as exciting as he was. He played at Louisville, and nobody really knew.
Those final 4 weeks were crazy because of how nuts he went. But beyond that.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's
been a while.
It's Baker, Burrow. Huh. Mariota had that effect on people because they were good and he was eye popping. Jameis Winston and Johnny Manziel back to back. I mean, you had a good run there where you went on a run from Cam Newton, RG3, Johnny Manziel, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
those guys all took college football by storm. We have not had you.
No.
To your point, we are not on that run, and I don't know when we will be, because a lot of it was built on name. They built a name for themselves, and then the brands that they played for had massive recognition. And NIL, you would think, would harness
that. It hasn't. I think that you're getting kids that are coming into college now that are a brand, and part of that brand is to be as bland as possible. Because think about everybody you just named off, with the exception of Marcus. Every single one of those dudes is insane.
Yeah, and they had their baggage at times.
You know what I mean? Cam, Jameis, Baker, Johnny.
Yeah.
I mean, those
RG3 didn't at the time, but sure does now.
Sure, but he was also electrifying.
Yeah, and he was world class speed at quarterback.
And so
it was special.
The other part of this, and again, not to go too long in this, was I wish that that same difference maker could hold true on the defensive side of the ball again. I just don't.
Ndamukong Suh got robbed.
Yeah, he did. But like, it would be great if a Charles Woodson. Let's use Will Johnson at Michigan. Just use the Michigan.
Well, Hunter. Use Travis Hunter. Yeah, they're not going to win enough, but Travis
Hunter. That's why I kind of went with Will Johnson. Yeah. I think they had the potential to win enough.
Sure.
Let's say he has like a 14 interception season and returns a couple kicks.
Yeah. We also forget that Charles Woodson got the Heisman bump when he played receiver, too. Yeah, they put him in at receiver. Yeah. And he was a, make no mistake, he was a corner and a kick returner. Mm-hmm. But when they put him in a receiver, they're like, oh, he's a guy that can do it all.
And he had a couple of special plays.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Be interesting to see if Hunter can capture some of that magic. Maybe not win one, but...
I don't think people would root for that, though.
I would say, do you think a world exists where he could win a Heisman?
I do. It would
just
it
be,
would be
so dynamic on both sides of the ball.
The world is if Colorado goes 8-4, 9-3, 10-2. Which I don't see happening, but that right there would be how it happens, because if they are that good, people will talk about them. The negative attention will turn into positive attention. It would be because of him and Shadori, even though Prime would make you believe that it was all about him, but it would be Shador and Travis Hunter would be the reasons why they win that, and that's where you would get Travis Hunter bump. And the thing that sucks for him, though, is that Shador would probably peel off a couple of votes, his own teammate,
sure,
if that happened.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
You know, I want it to happen.
Like, you know what I mean? Just something different. I'm just, Mike Golick Sr.'s point, I'm tired of it being a quarterback award.
Oh, or best, like, they're like, oh, we don't know who to give it to. I should probably give it to the best player on the best team. No.
No.
To hell with that.
Give it to the best player in college football.
Give it to Toby Gearhart.
Yes.
Damn it. In 2025, give it to, or 24, give it to Toby Gearhart.
Posthumously. He's not dead.
I mean, career-wise, though. Yeah.
Career dead.
Yeah, career dead. And Stanford program. No, wait, that's rude. No, they're in the ACC.
I mean, might as well be dead. Coming up next, speaking of dead, are the Commanders dead in the water? But first, it's Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
Well, the other day, we had our unhinged NFL takes, and both of us are pretty down on the NFC East, the NFC East. The Eagles appear to be teetering on the edge of destruction. The Cowboys are a bottle of nitroglycerin. And the Commanders, well, they're rebuilding and the Giants suck.
Yeah.
However.
Ooh, Stephen A.
The Philadelphia Eagles are trying to not suck by trading for a wide receiver upgrade, Jahan Dotson, in division with the Washington Commanders, a team that also needs wide receiver help.
This trade was weird. First, it's in division. Which is always baffling to see because it's so rare that you see an in-division trade. But when you get the lay of the land here and you realize, right, the new GM in Washington isn't an in-house guy. He's just now learning to hate all the teams in his division. He came from San Francisco, okay? But it's still weird to see an in-division trade go down, especially a former first-round pick. Jahan Dotson going to Philly from Washington. Now you have given Philly. These are the weapons that Jalen Hurts has to work with. Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Gainwell, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson, Dallas Goedert. I believe that Howie Roseman is saying, our quarterback and head coach may hate each other. We might just put enough talent around to where it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Because Dotson, and he's only got like I think 1,000 yards in two seasons combined, right?
Got a case of the dropsies.
But he's a former first-round talent that you're not putting any sort of expectation on.
He's firmly to the be third the guy. Wide receiver.
And fourth receiving option.
Yeah.
Third wide receiver, but fourth receiving option when you put Goddard into that conversation.
And hell, Barkley.
So you sit there and you look at it and you go, I get where you're going here for if you're Philly, for sure. But that the other side of this is Washington just might know Jahan Dotson sucks.
Yeah. And they got some draft capital out of it because the rest of the opposite Terry McLaurin right now, they just drafted Luke McCaffrey from Rice, Christian's brother.
Ed's other son.
Other son. They also have, God, this is such a great name, Olamide Zaccheaus.
Badass name.
I mean, that's very, very Greek. Love it. Jameson Crowder, and they also have Byron Pringle and Martavis Bryant, still not been cut.
Hey, good for Martavis Bryant.
So,
Zach Ertz is your tight end.
Yeah. And look, having Martavis be your big body receiver, as much as they're traditionally put on the outside, you're seeing them put more and more in the slot now. Maybe that's your answer, because that's where Dotson was playing, was in the slot.
I think Luke McCaffrey's that guy now.
Sure. But I mean, the idea of who you can and can't cycle through, if you can't put McCaffrey, or if you have to move McCaffrey outside for whatever reason.
But I think that is, I mean, we're talking about a receiver from Rice who has a lineage of mm-hmm. NFL talent in his family, and, you know, you can't underestimate a guy who was just probably missed in the recruiting process and ended up at Rice, right? Like, that happens. Guys grow and develop in college. It happens all the time. Mm. It's pretty incredible how that works, right?
Weird.
Yeah. Huh. Weird. But I think that this does say how out on Dotson Washington was.
Making a trade in vision, which usually comes with a tax.
But this is where the tax really wasn't that high.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a third-round pick in two sevenths.
All in the 2025 draft.
And Philly got a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
They got a fifth for it, too. So it's like, all right, you do the draft value, and you go, all right, we give up a third and two sevenths. We get a fifth and a guy who's going to be our third number three receiver mm-hmm. right now. Yeah, we'll go ahead and take that. And when Dotson doesn't have the pressure of being a high draft pick and in a situation where you are expected to produce, he may thrive in this role. I don't know if he does. Kellen Moore is the play caller.
Sure.
And we've seen very talented teams with multiple weapons not do great.
We've seen Kellen Moore do good and not so good.
But this is an amazing addition to Philly on paper.
Sure.
What can you do with it, though?
And that's so much of what Philly is, though.
How much of the fighting that you have with your quarterback and head coach, if it is as real as the recent reports indicate, if that is real, that can derail the most talented team.
Regardless of obscene amounts of talent.
No doubt about
when it. When it's that sideways, you know.
Yep.
It's kind of tough to be able to figure that all out. I have, during the break, something came across the timeline. Nick Saban is currently down at Georgia Tech right now, taking a look ahead of the old broadcast.
Ooh.
I have a pitch for you. A Nick Saban-driven TV show that I want to pitch to you when we come back.
I am in.
You're in? All right. We'll get to that and more coming from Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. Less than 48 hours away from the kickoff of college football, Nick Saban is down with Georgia Tech in Ireland. Ahead of the Georgia Tech-Florida State game in Dublin. And it got me thinking. Nick Saban, he's no longer coaching, but he still has all of the ability and knowledge in the world to be Mr. Saban, Coach Saban.
Mm-hmm.
What if he went around to all the different schools and, like, watched practice for a week and went, like, full bar rescue? But it's team rescue.
Went program rescue. I would be in. It would be really interesting, though, because of the fact that the landscape is changing so much mm-hmm. and how more flexible you need to be.
Yeah.
But, and there's a story today about how he called his agent, super agent to the coaches, coaching stars, yes. Jimmy Sexton. And he said to Jimmy Sexton, I'm going to fire your ass because you made me hire Lane Kiffin. And how much he hated Lane Kiffin.
Mm.
Like, he was all of the stuff that Kiffin jokes about,
mm-hmm.
that was very real. Nick Saban did not like Lane Kiffin at all. Mm. And you look at the success that Kiffin is having, mm-hmm. it's not Nick Saban's success by any means, but he thought that Kiffin was a narcissist who rebelled and did things his own way.
Mm-hmm.
It should be noted, Alabama's offenses were never as prolific as they were when Lane Kiffin.
Look, he may be a narcissist, and he may rebel a little bit. He's also brilliant.
Yeah, And he maximized the weapons and the talent they had. Saban didn't like that, though, right? And so I wonder, like, how that would work. But it would be I would watch.
Tell me you would watch every single episode,
single second of it. It would be riveting to see how he would, his process of what he would do to go in. Because here's the other thing about Saban, is that he may be old school, but he went into Michigan State, LSU, Alabama.
Multiple schools, multiple places in the country, and different ways of doing things.
Built them up into monsters when he left. He knows how to build a football program. He knows what the power structure should look like within your coaching staff, within your support staff, and then within a locker room.
What your practice setup should look like. What's your financial, not necessarily the money itself, but like the structure around it and how it needs to be done. Now, the scaling would change between schools.
And where you could get to different benchmarks of success, he would be magnificent at. I would watch that.
Right.
And then just having those honest conversations of, yeah, by the way, your receivers coach doesn't know what the hell he's doing and you need to go in a different direction. Like I'm in.
It's like the guy, hey, look, your son-in-law is great. He's got great energy. He's also using 6 times the recommended pour on every drink, and that's why you're going broke every night.
And he's sitting there, what you need here is some more D's nuts jokes. Mm-hmm. That's what you need for your program to be where you want it to be. Because the thing about Saban is,
I need less memes, more D's nuts.
As big of a red ass as he was, look at the guys he developed that are thriving now in other places. He knows the recipe for success. Could he pull it off, and does he have the energy to continue to do that now in a different landscape of college football, where NIL, the transfer portal, and, oh, by the way, coming down the pipeline is a break off of college football from any other sport in college athletics? I think he just said, I don't need to prove anything else. I've done it all. Now, if that was it,
that's a new bridge right there.
His consulting is exactly what people would need.
Put it on TV.
Yeah.
Put it on TV.
And he would make a bajillion dollars.
Here's what you do.
More than he does on his Mercedes dealerships.
Here's what you do. Instead of having your consulting service get paid to go to whatever school, you have, screw it, Omaha Productions. Manning's finance this, right? Do you see they released the stills from the new Chad Powers TV show?
No.
Glenn Powell is Chad Powers.
Perfect.
Unbelievable. Let's say Omaha Productions is the one who fronts all of this. But part of the deal is Saban gets to go in there and run roughshod.
Yep.
Then it's not you. It's made for TV.
Yeah, the big one that would be brutal is the ego of whatever coach is opening up his doors to Nick Saban coming in. I don't know. We wouldn't see it like at Division I. He would do it at, like, you go to a D3, NAIA, D2, you know, even FCS, where they want to be better than they are, that you have an administration that's like, we're going to commit to football, but we don't know quite how to do it. Or hell, at those smaller levels, you have a lot of programs that are just starting now. Sure. A lot of schools that cut football or never had football
are saying, their way back in.
You know what? For the culture of a campus, it means a whole heck of a lot, and we want to be good at it. We're going to go ahead and this is how we get our foot in the door with it.
What's Saban's catchphrase? Is it D's nuts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that apparently coach he loves
says,
those jokes.
Coach says he does.
Now, his catchphrase is, all right, you see what I'm doing? All right.
No, I think he's going to go with D's nuts.
Yeah, it would be.
Another coach says, no, we do things this way, this way, this way, and Saban's with D's nuts.
D's nuts we do.
I think that's the pivot here.
Vancouver for our text line. Please do it with Coach Prime, then have him film an Aflac commercial afterwards.
Does Nick Saban in that commercial look uncomfortable with Prime? I've always thought
Nick Saban in commercials looks uncomfortable.
But the
yes.
very first time I saw that commercial with Prime in it with him, I was like, Saban does not like this.
No.
He does not like this one bit. This is like, this is the definition of I do not like green eggs and ham.
Huh.
He just wanted no part of it. I don't know why I felt that way. That was immediately how I felt.
Nick Saban has in November of last year, acquired two more South Florida Mercedes dealerships worth roughly $700 million.
Good. This guy's worth billions. Literally, billions.
He's like the Mercedes dealer of the South.
Yeah, I think he's got like 13 dealerships or something like that.
Yeah. So
that
he's 15 not doing million a it year, for the money.
Yeah, the $15 million a year that he got coaching didn't matter.
Nah. All right.
God.
That does it for us. And once again, Isaac and Suk, show on the road. 4 hours of power from your mouths to their ears. They are back at 10 Barrel Brewing. We got some race car drivers coming on, though.
Race car?
Let's go.
You ain't first, you're last.
We'll see you Friday. It'll be a Football Friday edition of Danny
the
and Dusty.
First one
let's
back.
Go, baby. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
Bye. That's when the sucking really matters.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.